In the past, researchers were taking data from studies done on men, including sexual health, and applying their findings to women. But that changed in the 1990s when women's health, including sexual desire, finally began to be looked at separately from men's issues.
I think it's relatively surprising how high the rates of sexual problems are. So overall, in our society, about 43% of women are complaining of having some sexual problems.
Experts say that approximately 1 in 10 women report decreased sexual desire and are distressed by it. It's the most commonly reported female sexual complaint.
We're talking about millions of women.
For most women, the concerns are temporary. But for others, it may be a symptom of a larger medical condition called female sexual dysfunction.
Female sexual dysfunction is a term that encompasses all of the female sexual disorders, and there are 6 of them. Sexual aversion disorder, sexual arousal disorder, anorgasmia, vaginismus, dyspareunia, which means pain with intercourse, and hypoactive sexual desire disorder.
HSDD is defined as decreased desire in a woman which causes personal distress.
The absence of sexual interest, sexual desire, sexual fantasies, and even the receptivity to being sexual, and it is persistent.
According to the diagnostic criteria, HSDD cannot be caused by a medication or another medical condition. HSDD can be lifelong, or it can be acquired. Ironically, even women who have HSDD have never heard of it. And there's a reason why.
Most physicians don't use the term HSDD because it implies that there's a disorder or a disease, and women who have decreased desire don't want to feel that they're diseased.
Hypoactive sexual desire disorder sounds horrendously pathologic. I mean, it's 4 words. When in fact, simplifying it to be loss of sexual desire makes a whole lot more sense.
So, how would a woman know if she has HSDD versus just a lack of sex in her life? There is a standard set of interview questions called the Decreased Sexual Desire Screener, designed to help doctors diagnose HSDD.
The Decreased Sexual Desire Screener is a 5-item list that the clinician and the patient can fill out together that looks at all the components of loss of interest, plus all the other factors that might be contributing. Let's be clear, though. Desire problems versus having the diagnosis of hypoactive sexual desire disorder are very different. We all have times in our lives that we fluctuate in our sexual interests.
For some women, not having a desire to be sexually active causes no distress. If it doesn't cause a problem for themselves, for their image of themselves as a woman, or their interpersonal relationship with their partner, then clearly they're not having distress about the issue, and they say, this is a life phase I'm going through, and it won't be like this forever. And that's absolutely a normal kind of behavior. For other women, however, it causes tremendous distress.
Women who have HSDD will talk about a loss of self. They just don't know who they are anymore. And then what makes matters worse is they realize how that affects not just themselves and how they see themselves, but their relationship.
To really understand how a woman might develop HSDD requires insight into the elements that make up a woman's desire. Beginning with drive.
Drive is the biologic component of sexual desire. Okay? We are all born with a certain biologic drive to want to be sexual. It is what you know of in lay terms as feeling horny. It is based on hormones and it's based on neurotransmitters, okay? All in the brain. Then there's a sort of a cultural piece. That's your beliefs and expectations. Then the third component to consider would be motivation. Now, motivation is true for all of us. It reflects our interpersonal and our psychological factors that creates essentially a willingness to bring your body to a sexual encounter.
And although many women ask what is normal, experts say it's impossible to define a normal level of desire because women are all different and their levels of desire are different too. Sometimes there are no obvious reasons why a patient has decreased desire. And other times, the contributing factors are more clear.
No
concern for the kidneys then, right?
There are many women whose HSDD overlaps with another female sexual dysfunction, or who have HSDD as a second diagnosis.
In my mid-20s, I was teaching. I was in graduate school. One day, driving to my parents' house, I got hit by a car. And I suffered from a brain hemorrhage. In the trauma center, I actually felt more than the pressure in my head, I felt a lot of bladder pain. My father started taking me to a urologist, and for, I would say, 11 months, I was put on 13 antibiotics. Even though there was no bacteria found in my urine, they kept treating me for a bladder infection. I felt horrific. I knew something was wrong, but I was frustrated that I couldn't find a doctor to tell me, what is this? I almost felt crazy. I finally went to see Dr. Whitmore because a relative recommended her. I needed to see her because I almost couldn't go on anymore. Like, I felt like I can't do this. And the pain was excruciating. And I remember walking into the office in tears, and I just said, help me.
Dr. Christine Whitmore saw early in her career that medicine was not focusing enough on women's health, so she went into urology to make a difference.
The urologists weren't doing anything for women, so I knew way back in those dark ages that we needed to take care of women.
I'm going to have you lie back for me. Okay, put your legs out for me. Straight out. That's it.
They stuck a camera inside, and she saw scarring.
Pale. Your bladder has little hemorrhages in it.
And she said, you have interstitial cystitis.
Interstitial cystitis is an inflammatory condition that includes frequency, going to the bathroom up to 30 to 50 times a day, and having pain associated with the bladder.
I was scared because I had just gotten engaged, and I really didn't know what was going to happen to me.
When Michelle came to me, she already had such a loss of self-esteem, and she was depressed and feared having sexual contact because of pain.
I never had sex with Jordan for, like, years. I just kept him away from me.
Okay, my dear, can you sit up for me?
Even thinking of having any kind of relationship sexually was just out of the question. That was just the last thing on my mind. Which I'm sure was more hard for him because we were engaged. I actually said to him before we got married, are you sure you want to go through with this? And he said, like, don't be silly, of course.
What, that's so wild.
We had a very romantic, beautiful, princess-like wedding. We have been married for 8 years.
You look just as pretty as you do today.
Thank you. That's a sweet picture right there.
I know.
Okay, here we go. I have a son, Nicholas, John, and he's 5 years old, and a daughter, Victoria Rose, who just turned 2. I just absolutely adore them, and I would do anything for them. I feel blessed to have had a son and a daughter. We both love our children, we both love each other, we both respect each other.
After a number of surgeries and various therapies, things began to improve for Michelle.
You know, after a long time, I actually started to feel more like myself.
Even though Michelle's pain was alleviated, her fear of pain still impacts her level of desire.
It's weird because you feel so guilty that you should be doing that. I'm very attracted to my husband, so it has nothing to do with my husband. Nothing. I feel that I need to be a good wife, and it's not fair to him to constantly say no. I'm blessed that I have a husband that is understanding, because I think some men would probably leave their wife over this. I think most women, if they could take something that would bring back desire, I think they would. I would take it. If I could have the desire back, that would be great.
For any couple, communication is essential to keeping a relationship strong. But for women with low desire, communication is especially critical. But often frustration sets in and the conversation shuts down.
Thanks for coming on in today. So I see today we're going to be talking about... Understand that this is a very dynamic interchange. If they just recoil or say, oh, not tonight, inevitably the partner personalizes that experience and feels that they, the partner themselves, not attractive, not desired, not worthy, and they themselves can get very, very depressed. They can also get very angry, but they often will get very depressed and very quiet and recoil and stop initiating. You have wonderful communication. And it's important to keep that going as you work through this low desire phase. When I met Jennifer, she had a sexual pain disorder. Not non-sexual, just very...
Like many other female patients, Jen, a 34-year-old dental assistant, lived for years with undiagnosed pain. Pain so bad, it was overwhelming.
The answers were hard to find. There was 5 different urologists I went to.
No. Okay.
I wanted an answer, and there were no answers. I was previously married at 21 years of age. The man that I was with could not handle the situation. So I chose to leave my husband at the time.
After 9 years of not getting the answers she was so desperately seeking, Jen went to Dr. Whitmore. Like Michelle, Jen was diagnosed with interstitial cystitis.
So Dr. Whitmore said, this is what you have, and you need to see Dr. Kellogg for different type of therapies so we can see what helps you.
Dr. Susan Kellogg is co-founder of the Pelvic and Sexual Health Institute of Philadelphia.
She changed my life. Eventually, after a couple of months and trial and error, I also went for physical therapy for 8 months. The physical therapy reversed my interstitial cystitis to a complete turnaround. Towards the middle of my physical therapy, I met my husband, Tom.
I met Jen at a bachelor/bachelorette party for mutual friends of ours. We were kind of dancing together, and she asked me, about my wife, and I was like, what do you mean? What wife? I'm not married. I gave her a call the next day, and then we started dating.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Tom and I have been married 8 years. I would describe Tom as upbeat, likable, and always positive.
We loved spending time together.
I explained everything that was happening, and we worked through it. I was still having flare-ups. You're not immediately cured. It's a continuum.
Interestingly, hypoactive sexual desire disorder, or HSDD, can exist alone. Other times, and actually more commonly, we'll see it with another diagnosis.
But often, once the medical issue is resolved, the HSDD remains.
As she got better and better, Jennifer couldn't find the old self again. She couldn't find that sexually energized person anymore, and she had lack of desire. We see this very commonly with women who've had pain because they're afraid if they're very desirous, perhaps that pain would come back, and that's a very scary thought.
Honestly, there is a fear of pain that is in the back of my mind.
5 years into their marriage, Tom, a reservist in the Army National Guard, was deployed to Afghanistan. In the days before he came home, Jen's fear came to the forefront, compounded by anxiety and guilt.
When my husband came home, we definitely had the physical feeling to be with each other. There's no doubt about that. We always do. But the desire is hard on my side, and it has nothing to do with my husband.
Jen and I do have conversations sometimes about, it's not, we fight. We're a married couple. I think everyone fights, right?
The first thing that partners tend to feel when a woman's desire starts to wane is that it's their fault, that they're not attractive anymore. Am I right?
Right. You know, you do kind of feel inside that maybe it's me.
Believe it or not, nothing personal. It has very little to do with you, Tom. Most often when a woman feels low desire, it's a feeling within herself.
You're right.
We feel kind of quiet or almost dead inside, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We're going to work together with you to see if we can kind of reignite that passion. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Please keep the line of communication open and talk about this.
That's how we do get through it, by talking about it honestly to each other.
Okay.
And you do have to have that open communication.